This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I took a short break before I started a new episode. Today, we're going to talk about Brett Favre, and we're going to talk about the Mississippi scandals. Now, there's a lot going on in Mississippi. Not only we have the Brett Favre and the Wayfair scandal, we also have Jacksonville, Mississippi, the state capital, that seem to have poisonous water. Seems to be a very infrastructure problem that's going on in the state of Mississippi. And it's interesting because Mississippi is considered to be the poorest state in the United States of America. So this could be a symptom of classism, or it could be a symptom of racism. Who knows? But before we get started on this episode, I would like to make some announcements. I'm currently have been monetized on YouTube. If you want to, you can watch this live stream of my podcast on my YouTube page, Pain308TV. That's Pain308TV, PIAN308TV. So you can watch this podcast episode. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, a BlackKage840. If you go on my bios on my Instagram, you'll see all of my other links. So you can follow up on the newest episodes and the newest deals that I have coming up. So, all right, let's get started. So, I'm going to read this article for Rolling Stone magazine. Brett Favre Sirius XM show. XM show put on hold amid welfare fraud scandal. Daniel Krebs is the one that put this article online. SiriusXM has put Brett Favre's satellite radio on hold following the retired quarterback's alleged role in welfare fraud scandal in his native Mississippi. The former Green Bay Packers quarterback, who featured prominently in recent SiriusXM ads along the likes of Kevin Hart and Dan Grove, was hired by the satellite radio company in 2018 to co-host the SiriusXM Blitz. This season, the show has aired weekly on Tuesday, with the most recent episode coming September 13th. Roughly the same day, text messages were revealed that implicated both Favre and former Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant in a fraud case where $77 million of welfare spending was misappropriated and embezzled by nonprofits in the Mississippi Department of Human Services. The alleged text messages revealed that Favre has pushed $5 million for the Federal Welfare Fund to go towards construction of a viable facility at the University of Southern Mississippi, where Favre's daughter is on the volleyball team. If you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much? Favre very conspicuously texted nonprofit founder Nancy New, a friend of Brian's wife, Mississippi Today uncovered. Favre is also reported questioned by the FBI about a separate $1.1 million Favre received from the welfare funds for speaking fees and him to record a few radio spots to promote the program money that he would claim he would then use to help fund the volleyball team. After staying quiet for nearly 2 weeks after Favre's alleged involvement in the scandals first broke, SiriusXM says Sunday that Favre's radio show will be put on hold amid the investigations. A spokesperson told Variety and The Athletic, similarly Favre's weekly Packers recaps for ESPN's Milwaukee has also been paused. Both Nancy New and former Mississippi Department of Human Services Executive Director John Davis had pleaded guilty to federal charges of conspiracy and fraud for their role in the $77 million embezzlement, the largest public fraud case in Mississippi history. Earlier this week, Davis was sentenced to 32 years in prison on the charges. While Favre has not been charged in connection to the welfare fraud, the Justice Department is still investigating the case. Brett Favre has been honorable throughout the whole thing, Favre's lawyer told Mississippi Today earlier this month, adding that the Football Hall of Famer did not know that the money for the volleyball stadium came from the fund set aside for the temporary assistance for needy families and the emergency food assistance program. On Saturday, Jon Stewart also tackled a scandal on the Problem podcast. This is a tweet from comedian Jon Stewart. The Brett Favre thing is so effed up, I can't believe Cleveland hasn't tried to sign him. I guess that's supposed to be funny. I don't get it. Anyway, this is the article from Brett Favre, Serious Accent, from Rolling Stone magazine, from Daniel Krebs. You can go on Rolling Stone Entertainment and you can actually find the article yourself. Read it to get more information. So I'm going to read some more articles to see if we can get a different story or something new. This article is from ABC News on the internet, and the person that wrote this article, let's see. This is a video. No, I'm not going to play a video. Let's see if I can get another article. Okay, this is an article from NewYorkPost.com. Brett Favre kept pushing for Mississippi welfare funds after legally warning. Brett Favre apparently knew that the misuse of state welfare funds could be deemed illegal and proceeded to press state officials anyway in helping to pay for the new athletic facilities of the University of Southern Mississippi. According to text messages sent to him by then-Governor Phil Bryant in a court filing obtained by ESPN. The NFL Hall of Famer has not been charged in a scandal and has told his attorneys that he was unaware of where the funds came from. These texts seem to dispute his claims in a text message on July 28, 2019. Bryant told Favre that the founder of the nonprofit has limited control of the federal funds intended for children and adults in low-income communities. Use of these funds is tightly controlled, Bryant wrote to Favre. Any improper use will result in violation of federal law. Auditors are currently reviewing the use of these funds. It didn't stop Favre from pushing for a volleyball facility in his alma mater. The 32 filing alleges Favre texted Bryan on September 4, 2019, after a meeting sinking an extra $1.8 million at the new building. We obviously need your help big time, and the time is working against us, Favre wrote. And we feel that your name is the perfect choice for this facility, and we're not taking no for an answer. You are a Southern Miss alumni, and folks need to know that you're also a supporter of the university. Bryan responded, we're going to get there. This was a great meeting, but we have to follow the law. I'm too old for federal prison. After Bryant left office, Favre kept pushing him for help, according to the filing. On January 27, 2020, Favre texted Bryant to keep pushing. Then Southern Miss President Rodney Bennett texted Bryant. He told Favre not to do the things he's doing to seek funding for state agencies and the legislature. As you know, Mississippi higher education system has a process of how we request and get approval for projects, and that's what he's doing is outside those guidelines, Bennett wrote. I will see for the umpteenth time if we can get him to stand down. The bottom line, he is personally guaranteed the project, and on his word and handshake we proceeded. It's time for him to pay up. It's just really that simple. Bryan responded, maybe he wants the state to pay off his promises, like all of us, I like Brett. He's a legend, but he has to understand what a pledge means. I've tried many times to explain it to him. At $77 million of welfare funds was either misspent or stolen in a case of public fraud in Mississippi, and Favre is one of the defendants in the civil lawsuit. Yeah, so it says in this article by Zach Breiser that Brett Favre was warned that he could be federally prosecuted in misusing the funds. And he did not follow proper protocol and to build the volleyball facility. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read exactly who Brett Favre is, just in case the audience don't know. You know, when I was a young man, Brett Favre was actually my favorite quarterback. So, this is kind of disheartening that he's involved in nonsense like this. Okay. So, I'm going to read who his full name and who he is. So, Brett Lorenzo Favre is his name, and he was born October 10th, 1969. He is a former American football quarterback who played for the National Football League for 20 seasons, apparently with the Green Bay Packers. Favre had 321 consecutive starts from 1992 to 2010, including 297 regular season games, the most in league history. He was also the first NFL quarterback to attain 70,000 yards, 10,000 passes, 6,000 completions, 500 touchdowns, and 200 wins, and victories over all 32 teams. Favre played college football in Southern Mississippi and was selected in the second round of the 1991 NFL draft by the Atlanta Falcons, where he spent one season as a backup. Traded to the Packers, he became their starter early in the 1992 season and revitalized a franchise that had not been in period decline since the late 1960s. During his 16 seasons with Green Bay, he led the team to 11 playoff appearances, 7 division titles, 4 NFC championships, and 2 consecutive Super Bowl appearances, and 1 championship title in Super Bowl 31. The team's first in nearly 3 decades. Favre was traded in 2008 to the New York Jets, where he played 1 year and finished vital 2 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. The 2009 campaign for the Vikings saw him guide to a division title and NFC champion game appearance while having one of his strongest statistical seasons. At the time of retirement, Favre was the NFL leader in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and quarterback wins. He has held the league records for interceptions and fumbles. In addition to his consecutive starts from 1995 to 1997, he was named Most Valuable Player 3 times, the most the award was consecutively received. Favre also received 11 Pro Bowls and 3 first-team All-Pro selections. He was included to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2016. Yeah, so this guy has had a crazy career, man. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about his numbers, where he was the All-Pro NFL MVP, 1995, 1996, and 1997. Okay, in 1995, he had 38 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. His quarterback rating was 99.5. Impressive. 1996 is the year he won the Super Bowl. He had 39 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. In 1997, he had 35 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. Yeah, so this guy, he's an Iron Man quarterback. He's won 3 and All-Pro NFL MVPs, and he's won 1 Super Bowl. This guy was a beast, man. I remember watching Brett Favre play, you know. And the thing is, he had a cannon arm. He used to throw football so hard that when wide receivers catch his passes, it actually either dislocate or broke their fingers, man. Threw had a cannon arm. You basically call him the Nolan Ryan of the NFL, man. Boy. The thing is, Brett Favre looks really old. Looks like he's 70 years old. That's why he got beat up. He really took a lot of punishment and took a lot of hits when he was in the NFL, man. Boy. Yeah, so it's crazy that him in the form of governor would be involved in nonsense like this. But this is not the only thing that Mississippi is involved in. Like I said earlier, the capital of Jackson, Mississippi is, you know, they have poisonous water. And because, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So I'm going to read some articles on that and give my opinion. Jackson. Why isn't it coming up? They trying to. Jacksonville, Mississippi. Here's an article. Jacksonville students collected bottom water for Jackson, Mississippi. Let's see. This is News for Jax. This is their website. Channel 4 News on Jacksonville. It says here, pregnant woman, young children being warned not to drink lead contaminated water. My God. Local students will collect bottles of water to send to people in Jackson, Mississippi who are dealing with the aftermath of another clean water crisis. The water drive is happening at James Weldon Johnson Park on Sunday afternoon from noon to 4 p.m. There are 2 specific groups that need this water. Bottles of water will go to pregnant women and children under 6-year-old because the tap water in Jackson could contain lead that is not safe for those groups. Valencia Gibson with I'm a Star Teens Foundation, a student-led leadership program, and dozens of other students in Duval County as well as Jack's Parks are collecting clean water for Jackson, Mississippi. If Jacksonville, Florida ever goes through this, I will want someone to care enough to donate water for us, said Gibson, a senior of Ribault High School. Put yourself in their shoes. They cannot take showers. They cannot wash their hands. About 150 Jackson residents were under a nearly 2-month-long boil water advisory after heavy rain damaged its main water treatment facility. That ended last week, but a state health department of officials said pregnant women and children younger than 6 should be careful. The system could contain lead, even if it's low level. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, lead poison and exposure can lead to brain and nervous system damage, so growth or development, as well as learning behavior, hearing, or speech problems. Raines High School principal Vincent Hall is bringing several students from his school to help with the bottled water drive Sunday. Our students are in a community where we receive a lot of support from our local community and our alumni, Hall said. I would like for them to understand that in order to receive, the value is really in giving. Roughly 300-158 pre-K and kindergarten students in Jackson school system need the water that is going to be collected. Gibson say any help is help. We want to make certain that we give them an opportunity to be able to grow and learn post pre-garden or kindergarten years, so they be able to grow academically and become who they want to become in this society, Hall said. They are struggling with their physical health, Gibson said. They have to worry about COVID-19, and now they have to worry about water that they need to, they cannot have. This is not fair. Following the water drive in Sunday afternoon, volunteers are planning to drive everything collected to Jackson, Mississippi, later that night for distribution. Man, they have lead in the water? That's crazy. Here, this is a good article. The water crisis in Jackson follows years of failure to fix an aging system. The city of Jackson was already struggling with a deteriorating water system long before the rains cut off access to safe drinking water for the more than 150,000 people in Mississippi's capital. For years, residents of the majority black city has been endured everything from service disruptions and recurring boil water advisories to concern over contaminants like lead and E. coli bacteria, thanks to failures to upgrade Jackson's aging infrastructure. With the city now under the state of emergency, officials are scrambling to distribute bottled water to tens of thousands of people in a city where roughly one in four people live in poverty. Amid the fledgling response, officials have sent mixed signals about how long it may take to restore service. City officials have said it could be days, but Governor Trey Reeves said it's been unclear exactly how long it will take. The current crisis began last week when days of torrential rain caused the Pearl River, which runs through Jackson, to swell and then crest around 35 feet high, according to the National Weather Service. In an emergency order issued Monday, Jackson Mayor Chloe Antar Lumumba said that the flooding created problems with treating water at the city's primary water treatment facility, the O.B. Curtis Water Plant. Yet even before last week's rains, concerns over Jackson's water system were well documented, and the city was already under a state-issued boil water notice in the month leading to the flooding. It's near certainty that Jackson will begin to fail produce running water sometime in the next several weeks or months if something didn't materially improve, Reeves told reporters this week. Until it is fixed, it means we do not have relatable running water at scale, Reeves said. It means the city cannot produce enough water to fight fires and relatably flush toilets and meet other critical needs. Across Jackson, the situation is an unwelcome replay of winter of 2021, when bruising storms blanketed the state in ice and nearly decimated the city's water system. Pipes and water mains burst through the city, leaving tens of thousands without water, some for as long as 3 weeks. The crisis came at a moment when the city was continuing to confront widespread worries about the safety of its drinking water. In the 2020 Environmental Protection Agency issued an emergency order warning that the water system in Jackson posed an imminent and substantial endangerment to residents that can contain dangerous contaminants such as E. coli. 4 years earlier, the state officials alerted the city elevated levels of lead in its drinking water. The root of the challenges in Jackson are decades of underinvestment in a sprawling water system made up of roughly 1,500 miles of water mains, which are some over 100 years old. In 2013, the city sought to overhaul the system through a $90 million contract with Siemens to upgrade sewer lines, water treatment plants, and to install a new water sewer billing system for residents. But the deal brought new issues for the city, including the installation of faulty water meters that measured water use in gallons instead of cubic feet. In the years following the installation, some residents received exorbitant bills for months of water use at the time, while the others weren't billed at all. At one point, city officials advised residents to simply pay what they thought they owed, but unpaid bills would eventually strain Jackson's ability to redress the system. The city ultimately sued Siemens and several local subcontractors for $450 million in damages, reaching an $89.8 million settlement in 2020. The city is also unable to fully chip away at its service backlog, in part when a shrinking population has left it with a tax base that's roughly 20% smaller today than it was in 1980. At the same time, it has struggled to secure state infrastructure funding. Last year, at least two bills aimed at helping raise money for water system repairs died in legislature. And in June 2020, Reeves, a Republican, vetoed bipartisan legislation designed to help residents with overdue water bills in turn, would have enabled the city to collect sorely needed water revenue. In vetoing the bill, the governor acknowledges that the residents got overcharged in the past, but the state legislation would allow politicians to say that individuals are not responsible for paying the water bill. Reeves said there was no safeguards in place to ensure aid and will go only to impoverished or the needy. Mayor Lumumba has estimated that modernizing the city's infrastructure could cost such as $2 billion. Mississippi received $75 million for the federal infrastructure bill signed by President Biden last year for water and sewage needs. But the money is for the entire state, not Jackson alone. So, it costs $2 billion to fix the Jacksonville, Mississippi infrastructure, and it seems that President Joe Biden only gave them pocket change. Sad. I don't know, man. I can't call it. Can't call it at all. I don't know what to do. If you listen to this podcast and pull out the word, maybe we can figure out a way to donate water to Jackson, Mississippi to help them out. But this infrastructure problem, $2 billion, I don't know, man. Here's the thing, and I'm going to use an example of what happened throughout history. So, there was a man by the name of Hernando Cortez, right? He was one of the conquistadors that came from Spain. The reason why I'm talking about Hernando Conquistador, because he is the one that took down the great King Montezuma and the great Aztec Empire. Now, when Hernando Cortez took them over, he found out something about the Aztecs. He found out that they had an advanced plumbing system. That's right. You know, people give, you know, Aztecs a hard time for allegedly being savages, but it came... They was advanced when it came to separating their wastewater from their drinking water, okay? And in Europe, they couldn't separate their wastewater from their drinking water, and because of that, you know, Europeans was dying from diseases like cholera and E. coli bacteria and all these other diseases, all because the separating your wastewater, your bathing water, and your drinking water is very important. scientists say, by having an advanced plumbing system that actually advances the human race 50 years. If you want to kill a whole bunch of human beings quickly, just mess up their water supply. And the fact that no one, and I mean no one, had any interest in fixing the infrastructure of a state capital that happens to fill up with black people, it's actually very suspect. I'm not saying that it's racist, but it's looking very bad. It's looking very racist, if you ask me. I don't know what's going on in Mississippi. You know, I think there's a lot of government officials, a lot of celebrities over there who's taking advantage of the people. They all need to go to jail, in my opinion. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'm signing off.